These are very familiar texts for us this Sunday. At least I think they are to most of us, probably all of us. Things that we've heard before, whether we understand them or not, there's some things in Revelation we don't know exactly what's going on there, and that's okay. We see that as a sign of praise, which is always a good thing to see. We look in the gospel lesson, and we have Jesus telling people who fish for a living and have fished all their life how to fish. And then it works out. I've often wondered how, if there was any sort of whispered conversation on that boat. What do you mean throw it on the other side? Fish aren't on one side of a boat, but not on the other. But anyway, they did it. They got this miraculous catch of fish. And then after that, we have Peter being reinstated with the three calls to ministry. And in our Acts lesson, we meet Paul for the first time. Because he was Saul up until then. And then we have this miraculous restoration of his sight. And I was looking at these three texts and wondering what held them together. And hit this little tiny thing. Is it two of the three talk about eating? And I was wondering, does it mean anything? You know, what might eating prove? Is the sermon title. And what I was thinking is, it's a reminder to us, among other things, that it's important for us to eat when we need to. One of the things that we have seen our culture glorify perhaps above all things, it's getting better now, but is a complete lack of self-care. This idea that you should work until you drop, that being addicted to work is actually virtuous, you know, never seeing your family because you're working is a good thing, you know, not taking care of yourself. We read about these people who sleep 4 hours a night. And while it is statistically possible that a few people may survive well on 4 hours a night, the chances are slim that any of us are that person, because most of us need 7 to 9 hours of sleep at night, and if we don't get it, we get sick and causes all kinds of problems. And we look at all of these things that make up the world in which we live, and when we look at these texts, there's a couple of interesting things that are specifically noted. And the one in Acts, immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes. This is in the NIV, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his strength. Why mention that? Like, it's obvious that, you know, that Paul ate sometime because he didn't die of starvation. Like, why is that there? And when we look at our gospel lesson, we see that these, you know, Paul and all these people, they've decided, or not Paul, Peter and all these people have decided that there's really nothing else to do but go back to fishing. They have no idea what's coming next. They've seen Jesus a couple of times, but that was probably as disturbing as it was reassuring. And so they decide to go back fishing. And so they're out there fishing. Jesus tells them, throw the net on the other side, and they get fish. But what's going on the shore? What is Jesus doing? Jesus is making them breakfast. It's another one of those things. Why is that there? We followed Jesus in the gospel through years of ministry, and meals show up now and then, but not all the time. Like, we don't have a daily journal, if you will, that, you know, today we had fish for breakfast, and tomorrow we probably had fish for breakfast, or whatever else it might be. We don't have any of that. It just pops up now and then. And because it only pops up now and then, I think it's worthwhile paying attention to it when it does. And I find it interesting that Jesus gives these people breakfast. He doesn't wait for their fish to come in. There's fish on the barbecue there already. Fish and some bread. And then Jesus reinstates Peter after breakfast. What this reminded me of, or what this helped me think through, is something that I had a hard time believing for a long time, that God really cares about our physical well-being. We are more than just, what's the phrase, embodied souls. The body that God has given us is so much more than just something that carries around this soul until finally we die and get rid of this pesky body. There's a group of people that we usually call Gnostics back in the first parts of the church era in the 100s, 200s, and 300s, who very much had this idea that the body was just a hindrance. And so everything about the body was kind of bad, or at least, at best, neutral. And so the sooner you could leave the body behind, the better off you were. And I think these two passages of Scripture, among many others, but these two in particular, help us realize that God does care about our physical bodies, that they matter, and that taking care of them is something that we should do, not just because it's convenient for us or because we want to weigh less or more, depending on what direction we need to go, but because God gave them to us, that we were created to inhabit bodies, and that this body, whatever shape it might be in, is one of the things that God said way back in Genesis. That's very good. That's very good. And from extending from that, extending from these two little passages that don't really seem that critical or that important, perhaps, but we can extend from this ongoing understanding that God cares about these non-spiritual things, like food, not just the communion meal that we have together, but food and sleep and having a home that we can be comfortable in, that having the tools to do what we're called to do, all of these things that if we're not careful, we'll put them in the non-spiritual category, the secular category, the category that God doesn't care about, because there's no category that God doesn't care about. God cares not just for our souls, but for all of us. For us now, for us here. That's why we pray for healing. That's why we pray that people get better. Not that they die, so they can be set free from this body. Because this body is something that God gave us, gave each of us. And in the same way that we might perhaps like something different about it, and I think it's okay to have those feelings now and then. I, for one, complain about the weather. Somebody once wrote, I think mostly tongue-in-cheek, that a truly spiritual person would never complain about the weather because obviously it comes from God's hand, and how could you complain about the weather? Well, I complain about the weather. The weather doesn't always do what I want it to. My body doesn't always do what I want it to. I did not get up that morning and say, you know, it's been a while since I've felt uncomfortable. I think I should break a rib today. No, I didn't say anything like that. And I don't think God said, I think Barry's been too comfortable lately, I'm going to break his rib. I think God cares about our physical being and all of those things around us more than we know, and sometimes more than we pay attention to. God cares about all of the things that go into making our lives what they are. It's easy for us to fall into the trap of thinking that our relationship with God is primarily for what happens later. But Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it to the full. That's now. Our relationship with God through Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit, should make a difference to us now. And it does. I'm not telling you anything that isn't true or that you haven't noticed yourself. But sometimes we forget how important it is. Sometimes we forget that the most spiritual thing we can do is take a nap. Sometimes we forget that the most spiritual thing we can do is crawl around on the floor with our kids or grandkids and color things or play hide and seek. That is every bit as important as what we're doing now, because it's part of the life that we have been given. A life that we have the opportunity to live to the full, not just survive, not just wait until that glorious day when we're not like we are now and we're in heaven, whatever that looks like and whenever it comes. No, the Jesus who made breakfast for his disciples, the Holy Spirit that inspired the writer of Acts to mention that Paul ate something and that it gave him strength before he went out, reminds us that the God who loves us loves all of us, loves our physical processes, loves the fact that we are in this glorious world that God created, that takes delight with us when we look out and we see robins or we hear the birds, or we look out and we see a snowfall that we appreciate, which, you know, is usually earlier in the year than this. But all of those things matter to God. And we need to remember that there's not a division between the sacred and the secular, if you will. For us, there is no division. God is with us always. The Holy Spirit indwells us always, not just when we're at church, not just when we're praying, not just when we're feeling especially spiritual, but always. Because it was God. It was God's idea that we have bodies. And it was God's idea that we got the bodies that we have. And we got them to enjoy. To use them as, this is what we live life to the full in. We're not waiting for something. We can do it now. And one of the reasons we know that is because Jesus made his disciples breakfast. Amen.